I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Miles Away. This is your host, Zach Honig. Today on Miles Away, we have a very special guest. Candace Gibson is a weekend anchor at MSNBC. Welcome to the podcast, Candace.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And Candace and I, we've gone on a few work-related trips together, most recently to Singapore.
Yes.
And I think looking back on that Singapore trip, there was one moment that I think I'll never forget. And that was our dinner in the dark.
Yeah. It was the first time that you and I have ever had dinner together.
Yeah. And it was the last time, I think, too.
And it was the last time. It was absolutely memorable.
Anyway, moving on from our dinner in the dark to a destination I've wanted to visit for as long as I can remember, at least a decade. Cape Town, South Africa. I have booked a trip, finally, in December, because United is launching nonstop service from Newark to Cape Town.
Yep.
So 3 days a week, seasonal service starting December 15th, and I'm going on the inaugural flight.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Will I see you there?
Yeah. I'm hoping so. I saw that you posted that you were heading there, and I was so incredibly jealous. And immediately when I saw that United was launching this flight, I'm like, why haven't other airlines done this before? Because obviously you can fly straight to Joburg, but Cape Town hasn't been available, and it's just the perfect flight, I think. It'll be long.
Yeah. It's 16 hours or so.
16 hours.
Yeah. But yeah. I was actually expecting them to announce Johannesburg, because South African flies, mm-hmm. Nonstop from JFK and Dulles with a stop,
yep.
To Joburg. And I was really excited that it was Cape Town. So
yep.
We'll dig into Cape Town quite a bit.
But it is a new market. You'll love it, especially in December, which is the summer, of course,
So service starts in December. It runs through March. That's summer down there. It's winter here, kind of the best time to make an escape.
It is. It's probably also a very expensive flight, even if you're not using points, just period.
Yes.
I haven't looked yet.
Oh, I've looked. We'll dig into that towards the end of the podcast.
Right.
But I want to start just with a quick recap of the cultural and political history of Cape Town, I guess, and mm-hmm. South Africa in general. I mean, if you can kind of fill us in on just the last, couple decades.
Just the
last couple of decades.
Nothing really
has happened. A quick elevator pitch. Yes.
Nothing really has happened in the last couple of decades in South Africa. I'll tell you, this country, I've been there now some 3 times. The last time was in September. And on the first visit there, I realized that they have come farther along, or so it seemed, culturally and with race relations than we have in our 50-plus years since we had the Civil Rights Act and integration. Their reconciliation after Nelson Mandela came out of prison back in the early 1990s has just been absolutely amazing. And you look at the South African flag, and it is an indication of the blending of all the cultures and the people that are there. And that's what they try to do. You would think as if there would be this sort of racist overtone when you get there. I didn't get that sense at all. I'm sure it's there, of course. It has to be there. But not as much as I would feel in other parts of this country still to this day.
Did you have a chance to chat with any of the locals when you were there?
I did a lot. So the second time I went to South Africa, we actually wanted to drive around the country. We drove from Johannesburg to Kruger National Park, which is about a 6-hour drive. And then we drove from Kruger to
Durban.
So that was 14 hours. In that drive, we kept noticing like all these people who were hitchhiking are like, nah. No, thanks. We're not picking up anybody. But then we started like, all right, you know what? Kids in uniforms. We'll pick up the kids in uniforms. And then they'd get in the car, and that's how they'd get to school or get back home. And so we started talking to them, and they would tell us some things about where we are. And then we'd drop them off. And then we said, all right, we'll start picking up some women because we felt as if we were safer. And same thing. We'd be taking them to their grocery store, taking them back home. And they'd share some of the culture. And then we just branched out, and it was a packed car with men, women, kids going to the grocery stores, going home from work, going to school, going back home from school.
Oh, wow.
And so you really got a sense of the culture and the history by talking to some of those folks. A lot of them also didn't speak English, so that was interesting.
Is hitchhiking legal there?
It's completely legal.
Oh, okay.
It's completely legal. And it became just something that helped pass the time on a 12-hour trip with one other person.
Yeah, So you explored quite a bit of South Africa on your last trip. How many days did you spend there?
Cape Town, I spent 5 days the last time.
Oh, okay.
And I've bounced around. I've done Durban, Kruger, obviously, and Johannesburg, and I have some friends in Pretoria. I've spent a lot of time in the country. I like to drive around the country, the Garden Route, which is absolutely beautiful in the southeast. And just the history, colonialist history of it is staggering and amazing at how it's come back from that.
I mean, it seems like a stunning country. I've looked at so many pictures over the years, and you know, especially Cape Town. Johannesburg seems, I mean, it can be a little rough around the edges.
Yeah, and I think it is rough around the edges. It's gotten sort of like, it's trying to be this hip art jazz sort of center, and they have some good bars and good restaurants, but it just doesn't have the feel that Cape Town has. It has more soul than Cape Town, without a doubt. But Cape Town is just this natural beauty.
Would you say that you'd be doing yourself a disservice by focusing on Cape Town exclusively, or would it make sense for, you know, a first trip?
I think first trip, focus on Cape Town. There's so much to do. Every single day that you're there is a different experience. So I definitely focus on Cape Town. If you're going to do more than one city in South Africa, I'd say, or one experience in South Africa, I'd say do Cape Town and then do one of the national parks, go to Kruger or go to a safari just to mix it up. I wouldn't necessarily say do Durban. While it's very nice and fun, if you've been to San Diego, you've been to Durban.
Oh, I love San Diego.
San Diego.
Yeah, beautiful destination on the West Coast for sure. But
yep.
I usually like to start with kind of a breakdown of the neighborhoods, especially if mm-hmm. we're focused on a city. I mean, Cape Town's mm-hmm. a city. It's not a huge city, right? I mean, it's pretty walkable and accessible. That's my perspective.
It's fairly spread out. There's a very core downtown area, and the hotel that I've stayed every time is right there in the downtown area. But it's pretty spread out. There are different neighborhoods that are very popular. Camps Bay, the waterfront. There's so many different options as to what sort of experience you'd want when it comes to the neighborhood. So I wouldn't necessarily say that it's a walkable city. Like, sure, you could walk a few blocks downtown. I've tried running from downtown to the waterfront, and I'm a runner like you are.
I'm a cyclist, I guess.
A cyclist. All right.
I'm a walker.
That's true.
I walk quickly sometimes.
Yeah. So it's a long trek to the waterfront. You have to pick your neighborhood and realize that, all right, on any given day, you'll be going to a different neighborhood to experience something different.
What's your favorite go-to neighborhood for staying, for your hotel and going out? Can you just kind of walk us through maybe a couple of the key neighborhoods that someone might want to focus on for a first trip?
Okay, so for me personally, I like to stay downtown. The waterfront obviously is not downtown. I just like to be able to walk to some of the clubs that are there on Long Street. The hotel that I stay at is the Taj Cape Town Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can get it on points. I have never gotten it on points. But South Africa, once you're there, it's really cheap. The rand versus the dollar is incredibly awesome right now. I was just looking at the prices for the hotel that I stay at normally. It's only $117 a night.
Oh, wow. Okay, save those points for something else.
Exactly. It's a Taj Hotel along the likes of, like, the Taj Pier, you know, same company. It's an old converted bank building and has a vault in the basement. There are some coffee shops and bars there that the vault used to be. It's across the street from the church where Desmond Tutu was the priest for so many years.
Oh, wow.
And it's like two blocks from Long Street, and the most awesome, awesome South African clubs are right there within walking distance. And it's where locals kind of go to, or so it feels and seemed like. Now, mind you, the streets are fairly dark at night. I don't consider it to be dangerous, but I wouldn't necessarily walk those streets by myself
mm-hmm.
at night.
Is there petty crime? Is, like, pickpocketing an issue potentially? Or is it just kind of be aware of your surroundings?
Supposedly, petty crime is an issue. I've never had an issue with it, but I think just be aware of your surroundings and don't be stupid.
Should I expect an active vacation? I mean, both of us are obviously, you're a runner, you're very active. If I want to get the most out of Cape Town, am I going to need to walk around, do some hiking? You know, what would you recommend?
You'll do some lifting because you'll go to wine country and lift a lot of wine glasses. but also, like, my favorite thing is to, and it's very, very touristy and very cliche, but it is to hike Table Mountain. It's such a massive mountain, as you know. It's about 3,500 feet. They say it's like a 2-hour hike. I did it in about an hour and a half because I'm one of those people who just wants to get the pain over with and just be like, all right, I'm getting this done. I also foolishly hiked it 2 times without bringing water,
Okay. That's a good tip. Bring water.
Bring water. But it's a cool experience. I like to go there early in the morning, try to do breakfast on top of Table Mountain, and then just kind of look out at the view. And it has, of course, unobstructed 360 views of South Africa. You can see Robben Island, where Nelson Mandela was for so many years, from up there as well. And then you take the cable car down.
what's the climate like in Cape Town? I mean, is it seasonal, heavily seasonal there? Like,
it doesn't get really, really cold. My birthday is in September, so I've always gone for my birthday. Usually the temperatures are in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So while they have some great beach areas, I can't go into the ocean at that point. You just kind of go to those beach towns and kind of just hang out and have some drinks outside. Still t-shirt weather, but you're not necessarily going to dip into the Indian Ocean.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What are some of the other must-dos in Cape Town?
Well, obviously, definitely you have to hit up Wine Country, which is about 45 minutes away from downtown Cape Town.
So all those famous South African wines are just from that area?
Stellenbosch area. Most of them are.
So we did a TPG trip. I didn't get to go on it, unfortunately, but a number of my colleagues went, and they sent home several cases of wine.
Oh, did they?
And it's very reasonable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. I did the same thing. Like, less than $100 for a case.
Yeah, and depending, I mean, if you have elite status or if you're flying business or first class, you can, you know, you don't have to pay to check it on the flight home. That actually counts as your luggage in some cases.
So, I would not know that.
not a bad strategy, I have to say.
Is it? That's actually genius.
Yeah, you can make up for some of that airfare that way. So I actually solicited some reader questions on Instagram, and someone had asked about safaris that you can do, like a day trip safari.
Yeah.
Is that a possibility from Cape Town, or is that kind of a separate trip?
That's a tough trek from Cape Town. There are some safaris in the south, but it's probably more than a day trip. A safari in itself is a day trip.
That's a good point.
So getting to the location would take a little bit of a trek. If you want to go shark diving, there is that within an hour away.
Oh, someone had asked about shark diving too. Yeah. It wasn't even really on my radar, but what's that like? Did you do it?
No, I did not do it. I'm a black man. We don't do that. We don't do shark diving at all.
Well, I'll put it on my list. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yes, exactly. Do let me know. But it looks really cool. It looks adventurous, and they do it every day. They say it's safe. It's fantastic. There are also some great spots to go, apparently bungee jumping nearby.
That is something I will not do.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe we can trade. I'll go shark diving. You go bungee jumping.
I'll pass on both. But there are some cool spots in the south.
So you mentioned you usually go in September, and it's the temperature's in the 70s, mm-hmm. maybe not ideal for a full day at the beach, but have you visited any of the beaches in the area? Is beach culture a big thing in Cape Town?
Yeah, it's a huge culture. They're big into surfing. Camps Bay is a very popular beach. Clifton Beach as well is very popular. That's where the rich and famous people are. And there's so many amazing beaches over there. And it's within like a 45-minute drive of downtown Cape Town. But there's also like the Cape of Good Hope, as you know, which had the reputation in past, or people believe that it's the southernmost point in Africa.
That's what I was going to say, but I'm not 100% sure.
It isn't. It has like a sign, and it says southeasternmost point in Africa. It's almost like asterisk. But it's just a cool point. It's not where the Atlantic Ocean meets the Indian Ocean at all. It's pure Atlantic Ocean.
Speaking of water, though, I can't really think of Cape Town these days without thinking about the recent water crisis and how that impacted tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, we covered it very, very closely at the Points Guy, and we actually did, we produced a video recently. Our video team did a phenomenal job with a video just kind of outlining the crisis there and how that impacted locals and tourists alike. Was that an issue when you were there?
It wasn't an issue when we were there, but I recall distinctly one of my good friends, I used to work at ABC News, and our foreign correspondent went there during the crisis, and he kind of felt as if the government was being a little bit alarmist about how big of a crisis it was. And when they realized how big of an impact it was having on the bottom line and the tourist dollars, suddenly this water crisis...
Oh, it just evaporated,
just
so to speak.
I
actually, completely took Cape Town off of my list of potential destinations because, not permanently, but during the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was reading about how, hotels were rationing the water, like how long you could take a shower, things like that. There's so many places in the world, it's easy enough to just not go to Cape Town right now.
Yeah, so did a lot of people take it off their list. And it wasn't really impacting the people who were visiting South Africa at the time. The people that it was really impacting were many of the poor people in South Africa, because you had these cops that would be policing the streets and looking for people who were violating the conservation efforts.
Yeah, I remember even reading about how some people were trekking in water. They were bringing tankers in from elsewhere in the country and bringing water into Cape Town.
Yeah.
Recently, we haven't heard anything about the water crisis in South Africa at all.
They did have some water issues, but so does much of Southern Africa. A lot of those countries are suffering from drought issues because of global warming and climate change. So It just so happens that South Africa's and Cape Town's problem got highlighted in all of this.
We're going to have to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to dig into some flight and hotel options.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's one key gateway to Cape Town, and that is CPT, which is the main airport there, obviously. Is it close to the city? Can you get around pretty easily from the airport back to, you know?
Yeah, it's relatively close. It's about 30 minutes away from the city.
Is there public transportation, or do you have to drive?
You rent a car, but car rental is so inexpensive, about $12 a day.
Oh, wow. That's nothing. Okay.
Absolutely. The airports in Joburg and in Cape Town are wonderful gateway airports. I think they built them up for the World Cup in 2010. Mm-hmm. Easy to get to downtown from the airport, and it's a beautiful drive into the city from there. You can see the Table Mountain. You drive past the townships, which, by the way, I actually recommend doing a day trip to the townships. They're primarily where black folks used to live back in the days, and it's the only place that they were allowed to live. But they still remain some of the poorest areas around, but the culture and the nature of those townships are just, it's just fantastic to kind of soak it up. The one between the airport and downtown Cape Town is called Gugulethu. It is massive. There are no skyscrapers or anything like that. It's just huts for the most part. But within those huts, it's really like a living and vibrant city where there are some cool restaurants where you could get some great street meat and some cool little clubs where you can get a sense of the nature of the actual South African people and Mandela's people as well. It's worth going to, and they're more than welcoming to strangers.
Can you just drive through, or do you do some research in advance?
Some research in advance and try to find out like what restaurant you're trying to go to or where that restaurant might be. After the first time I went there, and I realized how poor some of these areas were and how awesome the kids were, when I've gone in the past, I've linked up with a church group and just taken like a suitcase that I didn't want and just left it with the church group of clothes to just kind of give out, because the kids need stuff.
That's a good tip. So when you're flying business or first class down to Cape Town, fill your suitcase with things you want to donate and then bring back some wine.
Yes, and so you feel guilt-free when you're sipping back on that wine.
Oh, man, I like that.
Yeah.
What's the food like in general, I guess, in Cape Town? I mean, are there any must-have dishes?
It's a mix of all the cultures that have kind of taken over South Africa over the years. So there's a big Indian influence. So there's some great roti, lots of good curry. There's a lot of Dutch food as well. And then there's some good African fare. I don't eat red meat. Lamb is big. There's a really, really fancy restaurant that we went to that takes about a month or so to get a reservation. But if you go to a nice hotel, obviously your concierge can get you in. It's called Test Kitchen. It's in the Woodstock area of town, which is a beautiful area. It's some nicely painted buildings. It's about 20 minutes, I'd say, from downtown. It's a famous South African chef. It's got some amazing dishes. It's a little pricey by South African standards for two. Maybe it will cost you about $200, but it's like food orgasm. It's awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. All right. It's on my list.
Yes.
So speaking of getting to Cape Town, and we talked about the airport, obviously, but the options are somewhat limited, and they have been for quite a while. Obviously, there haven't been any nonstop flights from the U.S. ever to Cape Town, so United going into that market in December is huge. I can only imagine, you know, they're already marketing the flight as like a connection to North America in South Africa as well. But aside from those South African flights, you know, the one from Dulles and New York JFK, there really haven't been very many options. You'd have to connect in Europe, which would add a considerable amount of time to your trip.
It does. But I'll tell you, there's a natural connection that I've done several times with Air France, where you take the A380 from DC or New York, and you get to Paris, and there's such a long layover. It gives you a natural long layover, about 17 to 20 hours, depending on if you're coming from Dulles or New York City, where you can just kind of make a day trip out of it in Paris and then get back on the plane and then head south. For me, it's always meant the best of both worlds, where I felt as if I spent some time in Paris and then head back down south to Cape Town.
That's a good tip because, I mean, that might be something that people would even want to consider now after United launches the flight because mm-hmm. the fares on this United flight are really, really high.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've found some dates where you can book economy for about $1,000, business for maybe, you know, $4,000 round trip, which is not too, I mean, it's high, but it's not too crazy considering there's no competition.
Yeah.
But the award rates are out of this world.
How incredible are the rewards?
So I priced them out. We're going to see about 140,000 miles each way for economy on some
for
dates.
Economy.
And then business class, 300,000 miles each way is not uncommon for this new nonstop flight.
That's egregious.
So if you're a couple going down to South Africa, nonstop Newark to Cape Town, mm-hmm. you're going to need 1.2 million miles for two tickets, round trip and business class.
I would completely recommend taking the Air France flight
yeah.
where you can sit upstairs. And if you sit upstairs on an A380 in economy, it's sort of like the poor man's business class. I don't know if you've sat in those seats up in the back on the A380
I have flown economy on the Air France A380, but I was there's this one seat that has no seat in front of it because there's an access panel on the floor. So that's what I recommend.
Well, there's an entire area cabin to the back of the A380 on the Air France flights that are economy pricing. It makes it seem as if it's a small little cabin that you can just kind of hang out there. And it's almost like premium economy seats. And it's a cool little spot. You get a comfortable ride. It's not very expensive normally on Air France. And then you spend some time in Paris and then just do another 10 hours to Cape Town.
Perfect. Well, easy. I mean, if you're using Delta miles, I mean, mm-hmm. Air France and KLM are your only options to get yep. to Cape Town. And there really isn't any, I mean, there's very limited business class award availability. So you're kind of limited to economy
yep.
anyway.
Yep.
You're going to be looking at 50,000 miles roughly each way in economy. So 100,000 miles round trip. It sounds like
Which
a lot.
Which isn't that bad.
It's not that bad. It really depends on the cash fares. So, I mean, if you're finding $800 round trip cash fares, do you really want to use 100,000 miles plus taxes? Probably not.
That's a good way to put it.
If you do want to use United miles, you have other affordable options. You can fly Lufthansa, like you mentioned, Swiss through Edelweiss. They do a seasonal flight as well. Austrian flies down there. Obviously, South African Airlines, but those flights are going to Johannesburg, so then you would connect in Johannesburg and make your way over. But that could actually save you some time over a connection in Europe, yep. especially if you don't want to, you know, spend a full day in a European city.
And Emirates also is competing in that market as well.
Yeah, so there's Emirates. You can use Alaska miles to fly Emirates, and then you can use Emirates miles as well, transferred from American Express. So that is an option, but the surcharges are pretty high.
Are they? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then Ethiopian is also an option, mm-hmm. and you can connect in Addis Ababa as well and use your United miles for that.
Ethiopian has been competitive as well. What about Kenya Air? Because they seem like they've been trying to
They've really been trying to get in the market. Play. They don't so it's not really something that you can redeem miles for easily, but it is an option definitely, and then you can pair it with a stop in Kenya, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Oneworld as well, very limited when it comes to Oneworld. There's British Airways, but you'll have very high taxes and fees on the especially business and first class. Yeah. And then Qatar Airways as well, which could be an option and may have availability. And then you mentioned the hotel rates are pretty reasonable.
It's easier to just put it on your American Express card or your Chase Reserve card and get the points from that instead of using points for it,
yeah.
I think.
Well, I mean, the other option, too, is you can use credit card points to offset the cost if you have fixed value points, or you could book with Hotels.com and the Venture Card, which is something I've been doing a lot more recently, because if you have a Capital One Venture Card, you can get essentially 20% back by booking through Hotels.com. So an option to consider.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Right.
Put that on the list.
Yeah.
Yes. And then there aren't any Hyatt hotels, and Hyatt's kind of become a go-to for me recently, but no Hyatts, but there are plenty of Marriott options because Marriott has Protea, I think it's the chain.
Protea?
Yeah. So they're part of the Marriott chain now, and some of the rates are really reasonable with points starting at 12,500 points per night.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all, no.
No. Now, I will say the best hotel in South Africa that I've never stayed at, but it's nice to just kind of go and check out. It's part of a chain, is the one and only in Cape Town. It's right there in the center of downtown Cape Town, and it's sort of like a moat around it. It's like an old colonialist type building. It's beautiful little space.
I mean, there's a pretty good chance they could be part of the Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts program, too, so certainly worth looking there as well.
I didn't know about that program, but I'm writing that one down.
We've got a lot to talk about.
But you know, one and only, of course, they have hotels in Dubai.
Yeah,
and
the Maldives, there's one in the Maldives,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Candace, if someone wants to follow along with your adventures on social media, where will they find you on Instagram and Twitter?
On Instagram, I'm at Candace Gibson. At Twitter, Candace Gibson. I'm not very creative.
Well, when you've got a recognizable brand name, I think you've got it down.
Yeah, and by following me along, it just means following my likes, which are following you. I'm living vicariously through you.
Well, I hope we get to do another trip together soon.
Yeah, that would be great.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Candace Gibson, weekend anchor at MSNBC, and to Acast for offering up their fantastic studio here in Tribeca. I also want to thank Margaret Kelly and Caroline Chagrin, our fantastic podcast producers, Ryan Gabos for editing the podcast, and music by Alex Schiff. I am your host, Zach Honig. This is Miles Away. Safe travels.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.